Chapter 8, The Land of Bow and Helm. In the days that followed, Beleg labored much for the good of the company. Those that were hurt or sick, he tended, and they were quickly healed. For in those days, the Grey Elves were still a high people, possessing great power, and they were wise in the ways of life and of all living things. And though they were less in crafts and lore than the exiles from Valinor, they had many arts beyond the reach of men. Moreover, Beleg the archer was great among the people of Doriath. He was strong and enduring, and far-sighted in mind as well as eye, and at need he was valiant in battle, relying not only upon the swift arrows of his long bow, but also upon his great sword, Anglachel. And ever the more did hatred grow in the heart of Mim, who hated all elves, as has been told, and who looked with a jealous eye on the love that Turin bore to Beleg. When winter passed, and the stirring came, and the spring, the outlaws soon had sterner work to do. Morgoth's might was moved, and as the long fingers of a groping hand, the forerunners of his armies probed the ways into Beleriand. Who knows now the counsels of Morgoth? Who can measure the reach of his thought? Who had been Melkor, mighty among the Ainur of the great song, and sat now the Dark Lord upon a dark throne in the north, weighing in his malice all the tidings that came to him, whether by spy or by traitor, seeing in the eyes of his mind and understanding far more of the deeds and purposes of his enemies than even the wisest of them feared, save Melian the Queen. To her often his thought reached out, and there was foiled. In this year, therefore, he turned his malice towards the lands west of Sirion, where there was still power to oppose him. Gondolin still stood, but it was hidden. Doriath he knew, but could not enter yet. Further still lay Nargothrond, to which none of his servants had yet found the way, a name of fear to them. There the people of Finrod dwelt in hidden strength. And far away from the south, beyond the white woods of the birches of Nimbrethil, from the coast of Arvernian and the mouths of Sirion, came a rumour of the havens of the ships. Thither he could not reach until all else had fallen. So now the orcs came down out of the north in ever greater numbers. Through Anach they came, and Dimbar was taken, and all the north marches of Doriath were infested. Down the ancient road they came, that led through the long defile of Sirion, past the isle where Minas Tirith of Finrod had stood, and so through the land between Malduin and Sirion, and then on through the eaves of Brethil to the crossings of Teiglin. Thence of old the road passed on into the guarded plain, and then along the feet of the highlands, watched over by Amon-Rud, it ran down into the vale of Narog, and came at last to Nargothrond. But the orcs did not go far upon that road as yet, for there dwelt now in the wild a terror that was hidden, and upon the red hill were watchful eyes of which they had not been warned. In that spring, Turin put on again the helm of Hador, and Beleg was glad. At first, their company had less than 50 men, but the woodcraft of Beleg and the valour of Turin made them seem to their enemies as a host. The scouts of the orcs were hunted, their camps were espied, and if they gathered to march in force in some narrow place, out of the rocks or from the shadow of the trees, there leaped the dragon Helm and his men, tall and fierce. Soon, at the very sound of his horn in the hills, their captains would quail, and the orcs would turn to flight before any arrow whined or sword was drawn.